Hi, welcome to the Shallow Dive on the Daf Yomi. I hope you enjoy.
We're going to work on Daf Lamed Gimel. So let's start Lamed Beis and Beis towards the bottom, five lines from the bottom. Toshma, come in here. Oiv lifrok v'sone liton. We're discussing the mitzvah of assisting. One sees one's friend or enemy with their donkey loading or unloading that needs to be done. What is the halacha when one is confronted with two mitzvahs simultaneously? He has a friend who needs assistance with unloading, and he has an enemy that needs assistance with loading. Mitzvah besone kidei lakuf es yitro. The mitzvah is for him to help his enemy to load up the donkey in order to bend his will, to weaken the risk of his hatred spiraling out of control. Remember before, is back and forth on this question. If one would suggest that the opinion that they are maintaining is that the prohibition of either causing unnecessary pain to animals or ignoring without good cause the pain of the animals is a biblical injunction, how oddly should that be the priority? Meaning the animal is an important part of the equation here. In Ohev Lifrok, V'Sone Liton, we have two competing opportunities over here to help his friend unload. Now, besides helping his friend, he's helping the donkey, because the donkey is sitting there with his burden. And removing, unloading, is going to relieve the discomfort of the donkey. Whereas, Sone, when he has the enemy Liton to load up, so there's no tzar balei chaim. You do not have the pain of the animal, the discomfort of the animal, as a consideration. So if there's a biblical injunction concerning tzar balei chaim, why would we say oiv lifrok should take precedence, that he should help? Sone liton should take precedence. We should say instead oiv lifrok should take precedence because of the consideration of tzar balei chaim. We should be more concerned with fulfilling that concern, making sure that the discomfort of the animal is being relieved. So even though there's this important factor of kedei lakuf es yitzro, to make sure that his hatred does not spiral out of control, so by helping him, by helping his enemy, he will weaken that tendency. But tzar balei chaim, the discomfort of the animal, why does that not take precedence? Gemara says, "Afilu hochi kedei lakuf es yitzro adif." Even though tzar balei chaim may be daraisa, in fact, that seems to be the conclusion in the poskim, nonetheless, this consideration of helping one's enemy and waiting to help his friend unload, so that means the donkey is also waiting, helping his enemy is more important. That takes precedence. That's a bigger priority. Tosfos, lakuf yitzro, to bend his will, his inclination. Vim tomar, vim ta'avi psochim, muki labi yisrael, shemote lasanoso. You ask us a question, the Gemara Psachim establishes that the case here, who is this enemy, is a Jew that he's allowed to hate. Kigon Sherobod Vaerva. He saw him transgress some sin, and he does not have any witnesses. There's no one else with which this person can go to court, they weren't able to achieve anything. But this guy knows. He said, "I saw." Ma shayach bo lokof yitzro. So what is the problem? If it's mutar lasanoso, if he's allowed to hate him, what is the concern about forcing his inclination, preventing his hatred from spiraling out of control? Is permitted to hate this fellow. So Tosus answers, Yishlomar delomairi v'sonei dekra. We're not talking about the one who is hated in the verse. Meaning, we're talking about somebody who he hates for no good reason. Sinas chena. It's not that the Torah mandates such a thing, or permits such a thing, but he has a midos problem. He has a prejudice against this fellow, he doesn't like him, rubs him the wrong way, but for no good reason. So, he needs to work on himself. So that's Tosus's answer. Take a look at the Nemukei Yosef. Kosev Ramban Zal, the lav hainu sonei dekra. It says, kedei lakof es yitzro, to force him, to bend his will, to weaken that hatred, or hem it in. The Ramban says, we're not talking about the one who he hates, described in the verse. Daha okimna beperek arve psachim, kegon dechaza be va'erva yechidi. The case that the Gemara there sets up for how to understand the verse, who is this person that he hates, that he's required to help? It's talking about a case where he alone witnessed this fellow engage in some immoral action that there was no other witness to, so he's not able to give testimony against him. But it says over there in the Gemara, the mitzvah, the sanosa, there's a mitzvah to bear some enmity towards this person. He's engaged in transgression. Velama Yaakov es Yitro. And why should he push against this hatred? Why should he hem it in? Tosfos says it's a reshus. He has permission. But our Gersa in the Gemara, as the Ramban quotes, is mitzvah. It's an obligation. Elahacha besoned almaskinon. Rather, here we're talking about just somebody who hates without justification. The Avid Bei Yisura kisonele. That he is actually engaging in a violation of Torah law by hating him. The Torah says, V'hafta re'echa kamocha, re'echa b'Torah mitzvahs, your friend, who is Torah observant. Obviously, there are different levels of that, but in a general sense, he is on board. I'm not talking about somebody who's waging war against the Jewish people. And by hating a person who is b'chlal re'echa, he is in violation of v'hafta re'echa kamocha. He has no right to do such a thing. So he needs lakof es yitzro. He needs to work on himself. The imperative to engender love for his friend, not hatred, outweighs Tzar Baal HaChaim, even though Tzar Baal HaChaim is a biblical injunction. This is more important. That's the Ramban. If you look, there's a Haggah over here. And it goes for Tzionim. Chen Kazot Tosus Kan. Al Perek Avi Pesachim, Daf Kufi Gimel, Reisham Erbeiz, Kazot Tosus, the Besone Dekra, Tanya. The Bryce is discussing the enemy of the verse. It's a different answer. Same question, different answer. Tosus over there says, Kivan Shehu Sono, Gam Chaver Sono Oso. Since he hates his friend, yes, he even has a mitzvah to do so, but then his friend will hate him. So there's this fellow that engaged in some licentious behavior against the Torah. It was witnessed. The witness alone is required to have some animosity towards this person who's violating the Torah. But that causes a reciprocation. And the person who is the sone, the object of hatred, will hate back. Tasib kamayim hapanim. There's a reflection, like water. There's a reflection that he will feel that he's hated and hate back. Uboy mitol kach lidei sina gmura. And this will lead to a complete and utter hatred. And that is not warranted. A person is not supposed to hate such an individual who's engaged in some sins entirely. There's supposed to be some level of animosity, but it's not supposed to be sin gemurah. The implication here is that one has a dual mandate. There's a mitzvah hafter ech gamocha, and a mitzvah that's also to have some measure of sinah. But the concern is, because one is engaging in that small degree of sinah, there's going to be an escalation. The guy's going to feel, hey, that guy hates me. I hate him back. And then it's going to escalate. In order to de-escalate and make sure that that mitzvah is just maintained, a very small level, there's a degree of sinah which is required, but it does not obliterate the mitzvah v'ahavta l'rayecha kamocha. Therefore, Tosfos over there says, we're talking about the sone of the Torah, that the case of the Torah, where the sone is one, that there's a mitzvah to hate, that the enemy that he is developed by seeing him transgress the Torah, that enemy is someone who he is required to have some measure of hatred for, to keep it in check from becoming a sin of gemurah. He's required to prioritize helping that person, even though at the same time, he's going to help him load up his donkey. At the same time, he has a friend, perfect tzaddik, no sinner at all. His friend needs to unload. The donkey's braying away. Hey, help me. Nonetheless, the mitzvah of what to be makdim, what should he prioritize? Prioritize helping the enemy that he has to hate, to ensure that the hatred does not get out of control.
But there is a chance that his friend will hate him now.
No, his friend's a tzaddik. Oh. His friend.
Yeah.
His friend's gonna. She says, "Why'd you help him?"
Yeah.
Shh. maybe no. He'll say, "Don't look at Tosus in Psachim, because that would be lashon hara. Look at Tosus in Bava Metzia. Who says that I have rishus to hate the guy? I just have to have a Moser Seder."
That's interesting that it's a mitzvah to hate the guy, but it's also a mitzvah to lessen the hatred by assisting him.
Right. Hatred actually is a very strong word.
Yeah.
That I think in the Hebrew connotation, it includes indifference, degree of indifference that's included in sinah. So we're saying that there's a continuum of the emotion. It could be a fever pitch hatred, but that's what we're trying to avoid, and that's not warranted. That's the answer of Tosfos and Psachim. Come back to the Gemara. Toshma, Sone Sha'amru, Sone Yisrael, the one who he hates, that is described as talking about a Jew, and not an idolater, not the one who he hates that's an idolater. If you say that consideration of the animal suffering is a biblical concern, who cares whether the owner of the animal is Jewish or not Jewish? We should be concerned with Tzar Bali Chaim, with helping the animal. Misavris asone dekra koi, asone masnisin koi. Zi Rashi, sone sha'amru, ksal daikdach, sone sha'amru, asone dekra koi. At the point of the question, we are interpreting that the one who is hated is the person described in the verse, Mishtai Biprika, that is talking about unloading. When you see the donkey of your enemy. Crouching. It's talking about unloading. Asone, the masnesikai, we say it's not talking about the one who he hates described in the verse, but rather of the braisa. Ach masnesu le'el, desone liton hu. Describing the enemy to load up. Not the enemy as described in the verse, but there are various cases, the enemy, liton, to load up, as opposed to unload. Tosos mali sone ovid kochavim, hanimili, habimotzi lishnut ye Yisrael, or li Yisrael, bechinam, ovid kochav mischar. One could have answered that it is the priority to help the Jew for free and for the idolater to be available to help him for a wage, to do so for a fee. And this brisa that says that the Sone that they were discussing, that was mentioned, is Sone Yisrael and not Sone L'Kochavim. So that's a preference. Tosus is saying, when we're talking about a Yisrael for free, and of a Kochavim for Schar. So we say there's a Kedima for Sone Yisrael. That's another way of answering that it's not a contradiction to Tzar Bala Chaim Doraisa. That's basically essentially the same case. And the Kedima is to Sone Yisrael. And the answer that is brought in the Gemara that Rashi is speaking about, not an alternate potential answer, is that there's no clear rejection of Tzar Bala Chaim Doraisa. We're talking about, in this Braisa, the case of loading up, so the Kedima of Sone Yisrael is talking about loading up. We're not discussing a concern of Tzar Bala Chaim. It's loading. By loading, there's no Tzar Bala Chaim. It's only by unloading that we have an imperative to relieve the animal of its burden. So that's not the discussion. Toshima, come in here. Top of Lamed Gimel Amud Aleph. Robates v'lo lapsum. Robates, crouching, and not a croucher, rapsum. Rashi, robates, mikrohu, lo, she robates tachas maso, pam azos. This is a one-off. This verse, that he is crouching, is in contrast with a habitual croucher. V'lo rapsum rogu b'kach. Robates, v'lo ome tachas maso. He's crouching and not standing under his burden. Velo mefurak tachas maso. Rashi, velo mefurak, v'hu tzarach te'ino. And he needs to be loaded up. K'man parach, haksiv, hakam takim. To help stand him up. Maso yishiyocha lamod bo. A burden that he can handle. And yes, you have to help, but you can only help in a way that is not going to overburden the animal. And if you say that the imperative of being concerned with the pain of the animal is a biblical consideration, mali rovitz mali rabton, what is this braisa differentiating between the one-off crouching, that he's weighed down by his burden in a way that's uncomfortable for the donkey, on a one-off situation, or habitually, the master is too aggressive. The owner of this donkey is overloading his animal regularly. Why should it matter? If biblically the concern is to help the animal be relieved of its burden when it's in discomfort, so who cares whether this is common or uncommon for this poor creature. Mali Omid, what does it matter that he's standing under the burden? Ha Mani, Rabbi Yosef Glili. The Gemara answers that Ein Chalami, this Braisa, is reflecting the opinion of Rabbi Yosef Glili. Da'amar Tzav B'Chaim D'Rabbanan. Rabbi Yosef Glili holds Tzav B'Chaim, this concern for the welfare of the animal, is only rabbinic. And therefore, you can have this differentiation. Biblically, it's not concerned. So you have a drasha, rovitz v'lo ravtzon, that if the owner of the animal is reckless and overloads his donkey all the time, so you don't have to be concerned to help him. Oganami mistabra. This is also most plausible. Diktoni tachas maso, maso yishyocha lamidbo. Because what does it teach us? Under his burden, a burden that he can bear. Man shamisle, iste hasvara, Rabbi Yosef Glili. Who is the one that we have heard such a rationale from? That's Rabbi Yosef Glili. Shema mina. So derived from here that this braisa is in fact Rabbi Yosef Glili. Umi matzas mukmes lach Rabbi Yosef Glili. And is it really plausible to establish this teaching in accordance with Rabbi Yosef Glili? V'hak tani seifa. Let's evaluate the seifa of this same braisa. Tachas maso, under his burden, lo mefurek. My lo mefurek. What does it mean that he's not unloaded? Ilema lo mefurek klal, if it means not at all, haksiv, hakim tokim, imo. One should stand him up with him. Ela pshita, lo mefurek bechina. Rather, clearly, obviously, it means for free. El beschar. One is entitled to charge for this assistance. Man shamisle, deisle haisvara, rabbona. And who is the one that presents this svara? That's rabbona. So we have the braisa that entitles a person to charge, meaning a person is obligated to be available for this service, but doesn't have to do so for free. He can help load and charge. Who is that opinion? That is a Rabbanan. So to say that the Reisha is Rabbi Yosi and the Seifa is Rabbanan seamlessly without telling us we're switching opinions, that's a challenge. Le'olam Rabbi Yosi Aglili. Really, it is Rabbi Yosi Aglili. But te'ino sabakak lakrabban. And Rabbi Yosi Aglili agrees that by loading up, that one can charge, like the Rabbanan. Meaning by unloading, that's where they disagree. By unloading, there's a machlokas. Can one charge to assist with the unloading? But when it comes to loading, everyone agrees. One may charge. Tana Rabbana. Kitzira yacho afil mirachok. When you shall see, the person sees chamor sonach harovet tachas maso, the donkey of your enemy, crouching under his burden. So what is this seeing? Yachal afilu mirachok, maybe the obligation to assist is even from a distance. You see far off here at the mountaintop, and you see very far away. No, that's not the case. There's no obligation over there. Tamal lomar, kisifka. Therefore, it was taught us that we have a pasuk, Hisifka shor oivacha o chamor toa hashata shivenolo, shmos chav gimel dalet. When you encounter the ox of your enemy, you shall return it to him. So encountering is what we're talking about. E kisifka, if when the verse says you shall encounter yochav gia mamish, does it mean you have to bump into the guy? No, you don't have to bump into the ox of your enemy to return it to him. Doesn't mean literally encountering him by bumping into him. Therefore, the other verse says, if you shall see, the two verses are meant to complement each other, that we're talking about an encounter, a sighting that incorporates an encounter. So you see it from close enough that you could actually encounter, not necessarily bump into, but you're not seeing from a distance. So what is this pshara, this seeing from relatively close up? What is the extent of that? Shir HaChachamim, Echad Meshav Mechza B'mil. HaChachamim gave a shir, an actual qualification, a quantification. What does it mean that you see this donkey that you're supposed to help the enemy who owns a donkey? You're supposed to help them both. What is the distance that the Torah obligates a person? The Chachamim said, a person has to go out of his way to help if the distance is 1 out of 7.5 mil. Zoris. This is a measure also called a ris.
I'm sorry, you said 1 out of 7.5 mil?
Yeah, so that is 2/15 of a mil. A mil is a Roman mile, 0.92 English miles.
Oh, okay.
So, that from that distance, or closer, that's when the obligation kicks in. Tanna was taught, umdada imo ad parsa, that it needs to assist in the process for a parsa. A parsa is much longer. Parsa is like 4 mil. Amarabba bar barchano, and Rabbi Bar Bachana said, and he takes a wage for that extra assistance, meaning that it's a service that he's available for, but that he can certainly charge for. See Rashi, Yochel Mirachok, the Hitalav Sheilech Sham, maybe even from a distance, if you see it, the Torah required you to go and travel a far distance to assist. Dola Imo, La'achar, Sheitino, Shemayasa people. After loading up, there's a requirement to ensure that it's stable and we don't want the animal to falter again. So he needs to be available for a parasa to ensure that it's all going okay. Again, that's Rabbi Bar Chana says that's with a wage. He can charge for that. He doesn't have to do that free. Mishnah. A person has his own lost object that he wants to recover, and the lost object of his father. Avidoso Kodemis. His own lost object comes first. He's entitled to go and save his own lost object, and only afterwards assist his father. Avidoso Avidis Rabo, Shalokodem. If, parallel case, he has his own lost object to recover, and the lost object of his Rebbe. So his comes first. Avedis Aviv, Avedis Rabbo. What if he's not missing a lost object, but he sees two lost objects, one that he knows was lost by his father, one by his Rebbe? Which one comes first? Shel Rabbo Kodemes. He's obligated to go and strive to return the lost object of his Rebbe before the lost object of his father. Why, the Mishnah explains. Shavi v'vi'u l'olam hazeh, his father brings him into this world. V'rabo, from the Chachma, and his Rebbe that taught him wisdom, mevi'u l'chaylam haba, brings him to the world to come. There's a greater indebtedness. He has to help his Rebbe get his lost object back first, and then help his father. V'im aviv chacham, and if his father is a scholar, shall aviv kodemes. His father's a scholar, but obviously does not happen to be his Rebbe. So then, shall aviv kodemes. Then he has the obligation to assist his father before his Rebbe. In the mitzvah of being mechabed lomdei Torah, his father is Talmid Chacham. So, he's makayim that mitzvah, and keep it up, besides the mitzvah of Hashavas Aveda. So in that case, Hashavas Aveda for his father will take precedent. Haya avi v'rabo nosim masui. If his father and his Rebbe were bearing a burden, maneach eshel rabo, v'achakach maneach eshel aviv. First, he helps set down his Rebbe's burden, and then he helps his father. And the obligation of helping with a burden is not just the donkey, it's for the person himself. You see a person struggling with his burden. That is also an imperative brought down in the Rambam in the way he briefly mentions the mitzvah, not just the donkey, the person himself. Haya aviv v'rabo v'beis hashevi, if his father and his Rebbe are both incarcerated, they're both captive. Po de'es rabo, first he redeems his Rebbe. V'achakach po de'es aviv, then he redeems his father. Ve'im aviv chacham, and if his father is a Torah scholar, then po de'es aviv, so if his father is a Torah scholar, first he redeems his father, v'achakach po de'es rabo, and then he redeems his Rebbe. Let's see the Gemara. Menani mili. Where do we derive these words from? Rashi says, Dishalo kodem. How do we know that his own lost object comes first? Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Rav Yehuda said the name of Rav. Amar Kra, the verse states, Efes hi lo yevcha evyon. The pasuk in Devarim Tezvav Dalet that is describing, however, you shall not have among you a pauper. Yivorech, yivorechcha Adonai ba'aretz. God shall bless you, shall surely bless you in the land. Asher Adonai lecha nosen lecha, that the Lord your God gives to you, nachal olrishta, an inheritance to take possession of. So this verse indicates you shall not have in you a pauper. Shalchal kodem, shalchal adam. So the first consideration, charity starts at home. The closest target is yourself. Make sure, person needs to make sure that he himself is not a pauper. So before he helps others, he needs to help himself. V'hamar b'yehud amarav, kol makayim be'atzmo kach, so bolide kach. The same tradition that tells us, Yehud amarav, the same source, that his comes first. He needs to make sure he himself is not a pauper before assisting others. But nonetheless, anybody who sustains himself in this way, in the end, will come into such a circumstance if he is entirely self-centered. And that's his priority. So he is going to end up being in a strait that he's going to need to do so because he will be impoverished. Rashi, lo yevcha evyon, yizar min anias. One should be cautious to avoid poverty. Kol ha-makayim ba'atzmo kach, anybody who fulfills by himself this mandate, af al pi shelo itil alav ha-kasuv, even though it is not placed upon him by the verse, yesh l'adam ikanes lifnim mishur sedin. The strict letter of the law is he can take care of his own considerations prior to assisting anybody else. But although it's not the obligation, it's not the requirement of the verse, a person should go beyond the letter of the law, below the didactic shali kodim, and to not be meticulous to say, mine comes first. Im lo behesed, unless there is going to be a loss, mochiach, unless he is really being pushed into it by a loss. Vim tamim daktik, parag medav ol kumas chasadim, it's daka. If he always says mine comes first, mine needs comes first, so then he is going to unyoke from himself the obligation of engaging in kindness and charity. And that disengagement, that distance from bearing the burden, the yoke of acting towards others with kindness and charity, is going to lead to his own impoverishment. So it's a good idea not to stick by this letter of the law, Aruch HaShulchan brings down in Hilchos Tzedakah, that if somebody is medaktik too much along the lines of this memra, then they're never going to get any tzedakah. Because they could always say, unless they're extremely wealthy, but most people don't have so much money that they could never spend it even if they tried. Most people, they could spend it if they tried, and therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan says, if a person is medaktik in all of their hotzot and says, mine come first, then there's not going to be anything left for aniyim, and that's not what the Torah wants. The Torah wants a person to bear the yoke of Gemilas HaSadah Mitzdakah, and in order to do so, one shouldn't always follow this letter of the law that his property comes first. Taking care of his own is, of course, a priority, but he should not lose sight of Gemilas HaSadah Mitzdakah. Hay Avi V'Rabo Nosin Masui. Mar says, if his father and his Rebbe are bearing a burden, Mechulu. So he said that the burden to assist first prioritize the Rebbe, then the father, unless the father is also Chacham, Tan Rabbanan. Rabbo Sha'amru, Rabbo Shlomdu Chachma, V'lo Rabbo Shlomdu Mikra O Mishnah. Who is the identity of this Rebbe? Who is this teacher that we are describing? So Rebbe Meir says, it's the Rebbe who taught him Chachma, wisdom, not Mikra Mishnah. Rashi, Shlomdu Chachma, taught him wisdom, Svaras Tami HaMishnah. The rationale, the understanding of the reasoning of the Mishnah. Lahavin shelo yos sosra zozu. Sometimes there can be apparent contradictions in the Mishnayos. And the Rebbe teaches him how Mishnayos go together. Tame isivahetir, and the underlying principles of what is prohibited and what is permitted. Achiyav aptur, that which one is obligated in, and that which one is exempted from. Unikra gemara. In short, this is called Gemara. Gemara is the exposition of the Mishnayos. And the Rebbe who taught Gemara, that's the Rebbe that we are identifying here, not the Rebbe who taught the verses, the scripture, or Mishnah, or the terse digest of Torah Sheba'al Peh that is not available, unless it is delved into, to derive halacha lamaisa from, in order to derive actual practical halacha from it, so one needs to have Gemara. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sherov Chachmas Amen. Rabbi Yehuda says, who is the Rebbe, the teacher that takes precedence? That is the teacher who most of his wisdom was received from this person. Rabbi Yosi Omer, Afilo Lo Her Enov Ela B'Mishnah Achas. Even if he only illuminated his eyes concerning one Mishnah. Zeh Rabbo, that is his Rebbe. So according to Rabbi Yossi, the father taught him one Mishnah. Okay, so talking about a case where the father didn't teach him one Mishnah, somebody else taught him a Mishnah. Okay, that's the case according to Rabbi Yossi. Let's see Rashi. Mikra, Tarnavim Uksuvim, Tanakh. Mishnah, kamo shehen shnuyos, Mishnah, as they are taught, ve'ein tamen mefurish behen. The Mishnah is very terse, and the rationale that underlies the exposition to understand what really is guiding the wording of the Mishnah, what does it mean, that requires Gemara. And if somebody just taught Mishnah, which is very helpful for memorization, very helpful for getting some baseline understanding without underlying principles. So if somebody taught just Mishnah, that's not the Rabbo of our Mishnah. Right? This is a case in point. We have a Mishnah over here, but who is Rabbo? Right? The Gemara talks about who is Rabbo. I mean, we have Tanoim over here that are giving exposition. Kol Sherov Chachmoso Hemenu. According to Rabbi Meir, somebody who teaches him Gemara, Sundu Chachma is Gemara. And Rabbi Yehuda says that he had to teach him Rov Chachmasa. Rashi explains, Im Mikra, Im Mishnah, Im Gemara. So it doesn't matter which area of Torah that he has achieved a measure of understanding within. If he cut out at first grade, so Rabbo is his first grade Rebbe, the one who taught him Mikra. He only taught him Psukim, let's say. But so what? If that's where he graduated, and that's all the Chachma that he has, that's Rabbo. If he continued a little bit further, he got Mishnayos. So, fine. That's Rabbo. Gemara, that's Rabbo. It does not depend on Gemara, according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi, Heir Eino, Shadiyo Tam Mishnah Achas, Shelo Yachal Havin. That he was enlightened with the reasoning of one Mishnah that he was struggling with, that he didn't understand. Some guy tells him a Vart, that's not what we're talking about, Heir Eino Mishnah Achas, even if he liked the Vart. But it means that he was struggling to understand it, and now this person helped him understand what the Mishnah is talking about, what the Mishnah's reasoning is, how it's not against a different Mishnah. That gives him the status of a rabble for the purposes of our Mishnah, according to Rabbi Yossi. Back in the Gemara. Amar Rav, Kigon Rav Sechera, Da'asran, Zuma Listron. What would be an example? Rashi explains, Da'asran, Zuma Listron, the Seder Taras, an exposition of a Mishnah in Seder Taras, Kalim, Ishnuya, Lo Yisiyadea, Makliu, I was unaware, I did not know what this vessel under discussion in the Mishnah was. Doni Shehu Kaf Gedola. And he taught me. It was taught to me that it's describing a large spoon. Shemesal Kimbo Zuam Kedera, that is used to scrape away the scum from the pot. Kalachas stod, and a kalachas to scrape it to the side. So it's a kind of like a spatula, something like that. That's this zuama listron that is used to scrape away the scum from vessels. So you got pshat in the Mishnah. That's an example. Shmuel did this teaching for Rava. Karam ani ale. Oh, one second. No, Rav Sechera was the one who explained this teaching to Rava. And Rava is saying that is adequate to be rabbo for this purpose. He reached a Mishnah that he did not understand, and Rav Sechera illuminated his understanding. He said, this is the vessel we're talking about in the Mishnah. That's enough. So Rav Sechera is Rava's Rebbe. Shmuel karma ane ale ahu mirabanan ta'asbere echad yored la'amas ha'shechi ve'echad boseach. Shmuel ripped his garment over the passing of one of the sages that explained to him this Mishnah. Echad yored la'amas ha'shechi. Rashi explains, what are we talking about in this Mishnah? Mishnah yimitzechas tamid. The Mishnah in tamid. Eitzel ha'nechnasim. Shechas utoch telosos ha'hichel. And explaining those who enter in the morning to open the doors of the Heichel Nebesa Mikdash, Mi Shazacha Bedishon Mizbeach HaPnimi, the one who merited to remove the ash from the inner altar. They brought the Keteres. Mishnim HaTeichos Biyado, and there were two keys in his hand, Echad Yoed L'Amos HaShechi. One was used in opening, to open these doors, required bringing his arm up to his armpit. So he has to stick his hand in very deeply, apparently, his arm in order to unlock this lock. V'echad poseach, and he has another key with which he opens the door. Kiven echad min maftecha salolo a poseach, ishpeset tzfoni, she'etzel pesach ha'echel, v'kerem mizrachis tzfonis sho'ulam. So this northern sill is by the entrance to the Heichal at the northeastern corner of the Ulam and the Heichal. Kitnan Hasam, Shnei, Ishvishailo, Meshag Odo, Echa the Sofna Heichal, Ve Ulam, Ve Echa the Dromo, Osa Shibadaram, Lo Nichnas Bo Adame Olam. So interesting that you have an area that the people did not go to. And Farshas must explain over there. Also, Ishve Shabbat Safon, Hul Pesach, Shabbat Zavis Ha'ulam, She'etzel, Chamesh Amos Shel Kosel Ha'Hechel, Shabbat Safon, Pesach Hechel Vedeles, Soveves Bo, also, Mafteach, Shel Oso Ha'Pesach, Yorid La'Amos Ha'Shechi. This particular location of key, where the lock is for this key, requires him to extend his hand up to his armpit, meaning he has to really put in, go deep into the crevice there in order to unlock. Bishvim psachim ktanim, these sills are small openings. Kemin kipos ktanos, ocha ko'ovi rocheb hakoso, the small, like domes, that the length is like the thickness of the width of the wall. The delos sovevis bo, and there is a door that is hinged there. Hostir belas. Pesach tzdodi, pesach star. A side entrance or a secret entrance. Echad yored la'amos ha'shachi. Bo liftoach bo shachris. One who comes to open it to get access to the temple, the Heichal, in the morning. Ishvish bezavis ha'ulam, omei mechutz toch ha'ulam, machnes yado bechorsh bekosol, abis shechir poseach. He stands outside of the ulam and brings his hand into this sill that is in the wall until the area of his armpit in order to unlock and gain entrance. Ve'achad poseach, kiven, and one, right at the back of the Gemara, echad poseach, kiven, and one opens in a flush manner. I mean, there's another key for another lock. It's a double lock system. And the second one is flush, does not require this placement of his arm all the way in to unlock. Rashi, la'achash nichnas bezeh. So that after he has first gone into this the sill in order to open with his arm extended into the wall. The Bach says, Al Rav Avadia Pirush She'osan Shnei Maftechos Hayu Shneim Ishvet Tzfoni. Okay, they're both located by the northern sill. Okay, according to Rav Avadia and Bar Tanur. Not sure why the Bach feels the need to mention that, that this is not going according with the Rav. And Rashi is not Meshubah to the Rav per se. Bo lo sa'asher al pnei achasre ama shel ulam, tzas min ha'heichal, poseach mafteach sheni, delos echad shemin haso la'heichal maher, belo terech, kishar psachim, nechnas la'heichal, liftoach tlosos ha'heichal. So after he does the first unlocking, so, in the inner lock, where he's got a second key, facing the 11 amo width of the ulam and a little bit of the heichal, and he opens with a second key, another door, to get into the heichal quickly without any exertion, meaning like kishar psach and like other entrances. The second key is not that complicated, requiring extending his arm deep into this sill and Then he enters into the Heichal and opens the doors of the Heichal. So it's not direct, it's on the side. And then from the inside he opens the main doors. That's the procedure. Kivin. Kemo yaseno bitfus bikbena. Kivin maher lotarech. So it means quickly without any exertion. Ha-shar ha-gadol pesach ha-heichal. Bin ha-heichal. This great gate is the main entrance to the Heichal. This gate is between the Ulam and the Heichal. Amar Ula. Tamiri Chachamim Shebebabel Omdin Zeh B'nei Zeh. Ula says, the Torah scholars in Babylonia stand up for one another. V'karen Zeh Zeh, and the Tekriya, an expression of grief over the loss of each other, leaning aveda, and concerning a lost object, the makom aviv, einon chozrin. If there is the imperative to restore the lost object of his father, then einon chozrin el rabba muba. Then they will only return before the lost object of their father. They will only return the lost object of their rebbe if he is rabba muvak, if it is his primary rebbe. That's like Rabbi Yehuda says, Kol Sherov Chachmaso Emeno. So that's what they do in Babel, in Babylonia. And as you saw earlier, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Kol Sherov Chachmaso Emeno, that's where the letter is. That's what they did in Babel. That although we see the concept of Rabbo even on a smaller scale, but when there's a conflict and pushed to the wall, so to speak, is Rabbo versus Aviv, then at the strict parameter of what's Rabbo, is Rabbo Muvak. Rabbi Mine Rav Chisda Mravuna. Rav Chisda asked Mravuna, Talmud, Tzarcha Rabbo Mai. Understand the relationship between Rebbe and Talmud. This context. What if he is a Talmud, but the Rebbe needs him? So that's a different dynamic. Like a Talmud Chaver type situation. Amar lei chista chista lo tzrich nalach. Ad tzrich li ad arbon shonin. So Rav Huna thought that the question was meant to reflect how Rav Chisda thought he related to Rav Huna. And he said, Chisda, Chisda, I don't need you. You need me. You have to learn by me 40 years. So this is not relevant. You're asking a question that has no bearing if you think this is relevant for yourself, which is how he understood the question. Rashi, Tzarcho Rabbo. Let's actually go back before that. Omdin zeh b'pnei zeh, they stand one before the other in Babylonia. Kedin talmid rab, like a student standing up for his rebbe. Afi shehayu yoshvin talmid beis hamedrash yachad, because they would sit together, learning in a study hall. Makshin mefakin kulam laminin zeh b'zeh, since they would tumble with each other in the beis hamedrash, asking and answering each other's questions, so they all learned from one another. Therefore, the general custom was to consider each one as a rebbe for the other, to some degree, so they would stand up for each other. The rabbo muvak, but when it comes to a conflict where he also has the lost object of his father, so then they would only return to rabbo muvak first. Shirov chachmaso mimeno. Rabbi Yehuda, the psak really is like Rabbi Yehuda. There's a chumrah to be saying like Rabbi Yossi, that afilo here in the elab mishnah achas zeh rabbo, but tzarach lo rabbo sheshama shmuos sheish biyado biacher, that his rabbi needs this talmud, that the talmud has certain teachings that he's heard from others, so the rabbo is gaining from the Talmud. He's getting more information more Talmud Torah. It's not a one-way street over here. What's the halacha then? Kilomar, kodem la'avib le'inyan aveda. In such a relationship of Talmud Chaver, so does he need to return the aveda of his father first, or of his Rebbe first, when it's a Rebbe that also needs him? So be'ikar, he's a Talmud, but he also teaches his Rebbe. Who comes first? Should you return the last object of aviv or rabbo in such a case? Back in the Gemara, Ekvidi Adadi, so they had this fallout based on this discussion with Rav Chisson of Huna, Velo Ayle Gabi Adadi, and neither went up to the other. Yosef Rav Chisda Arboin Tanise, Rav Chisda sat for 40 fasts, Neshom Dechosh Daite, Rav Huna, because he caused Rav Huna to have Chalisha Sadas. He had a weakening that he felt that he caused his Rebbe to think that they were on equal footing, and they were not. So it's a Chalisha Sadas. That's like the Gemara in Tmura, Tafta Zayin Min Aleph, that Moshe Rabbeinu, before he passed on, he asked Yeshua, do you want to learn something? He asked me a question, you know, this limited time offer over here. And Yeshua says, well, the Torah says, I didn't leave from your tent. You wrote in the Torah, I've got it all. So Moshe Rabbeinu had Chalisha Sadas. Rashi explains, what's a Chalisha Sadas? That he thought that he was equal. That's a mistake. He wasn't equal. He's thinking that he's his equal, so Moshe Rabbeinu Chalisha Sadas. And it's not to say that Moshe Rabbeinu was in any way jealous. He certainly was not jealous. It's Chalisha Sadas that he feels that Yeshua is making a mistake that he thinks he's equal. He's not equal. So we hear also, Yosef Chista Ban Tanis Mishum Dechosh Daite Rav Huna, that he gave Rav Huna the impression that he thought, that Rav Chisda thought, that they were on equal footing, and they were not. And Rav Chisda knew that, but based on the conversation, the way he asked the question, that is what Rav Huna thought. So he sat 40 fasts on that account. Yosef Rav Huna Arbon Tanisei Mishom Dechashta Rav Chisda. And Rav Huna also sat for 40 fasts because he suspected Rav Chisda, that he thought that Rav Chisda considered himself his equal. And that's not actually the case. Rav Chisda did not consider himself equal to Rav Huna. So each one was fasting 40 fasts, but they did not go up one to the other. Itmar, Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef, Amar Rav Yochanan, Halacha Rabbi Yehuda. So it is interesting that the question was asked, but it's not really resolved in the Gemara, meaning we don't find that Rav Huna answered Rav Chisda. He just said, this is not relevant for your case. But, L'chera, based on the P'sak, we don't see any letters here, based on the P'sak, that we said, that it's like Rav Yehuda, Kol Sherov Chachmas Vemenu. So if that's the case, it wouldn't matter if the Rebbe needs the Talmud a little bit. L'chera, it's Kol Sherov Chachmas Vemenu. Itmar Rav Yitzchak Bar Yosef Am Rav Yochanan Halacha Rav Yehuda. That is the Halacha like Rav Yehuda. Avacha Bar Rav Huna Am Rav Sheshes Halacha Rav Yosi. Another opinion that says Halacha like Rav Yosi, that says even if he just teaches him one thing, then he has the status of rabbi. Umi Am Rav Yochanan Hachi. Rav Yochanan really say that? Am Rav Yochanan Halacha Kistam Mishnah. We have a general rule. Rav Yochanan says the Halacha is in accord with a Stam Mishnah, an unattributed Mishnah. But Nan, and the Mishnah teaches, Rabbi Shalom de Chachma, my Chachma, Rav Chachmasa. It's that Mishnah. The Rebbe taught him wisdom. What is wisdom? It's Rav Chachmasa. Tana Rabbana. A sage is taught, Oskin, the Mikra, Mida, the Ein Amida. That is a measure, but not a complete measure. So, It's important to learn Tanakh, but it's not enough. The Mishnah, made of not nadas sachar, if he's osik in Mishnah, he's gaining a significant measure, and he will receive upon it reward. Gemara, ein lecha milah gedola mizu. And if he's learning Gemara, there's no greater measure than that. Olam have rots the Mishnah Yosem and Gemara. And counterintuitively, this Braisa concludes, and a person should always run to learn Mishnah more than Gemara. Please don't run for the door. We have Mishnayos, don't worry. Ha, Gufa Kasha. Hey, wait a second. How do we understand this Braisa? Seems to be internally contradictory. Amit, what did it say? Be Gemara in Chamina Gedolim Mizu. You said there's no greater measure than the Gemara. And then you came back and said, and really a person should run to Mishnah more than Gemara. So which way is it? Is Gemara the greatest measure, or should it be running to Mishnah more than Gemara? Seems to be a contradiction. Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan says, this Mishnah was taught in the days of Rabbi. Shavka Kula Alma Masnisin Basla Basla Gemara. And based on this glowing assessment that the Gemara is the crown, there's no greater measure than that, so people all started forsaking, essentially, the Mishnah in order to learn Gemara. Basla Basla Gemara. And therefore, in order to bring people back to learning Mishnah, he said that a person should run to Mishnah more than the Gemara. The Rebbe, who is the redactor of the Mishnah, when he gave such a glowing encouragement for Gemara, so it shouldn't be at the expense of learning Mishnah. You have to also learn Mishnah. So he needed to do damage control. Can't only learn Gemara. It's on Mishnah. My darush, kedarush Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli. What is the drasha that he dashed in accordance with the teaching of Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eli? My deceive that which is written. Agil ami peisham, teach my nation, or say to my nation, their sin. Beis Yaakov chatasam, and to the house of Jacob, their sin, the various degrees of sin, sinfulness. Agil ami peisham, which is a greater degree of liability than hate. Pesha is referring to Talmid Chachamim, to Torah scholars. Sheshagos nasis lehem kizdonos, that their inadvertent sins are accounted for as intentional, wanton sins. Beis Yaakov chatosam, and the conclusion of the verse, and for the house of Jacob their sin, Eli Amar, that is referring to those who are relatively ignorant, even when they sin intentionally, it is accounted for as though they are inadvertent sins. They don't really know because they're ignorant of the law. And that's in accordance with the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda says a person should be especially mindful and cautious when engaging in Talmud, that the shgaga of the Talmud is considered as a zaldum. Somebody makes an inadvertent mistake in their learning, that's going to lead to making mistakes in halacha, in practice, and that's considered like a zaldum. It's considered intentional. Like we said earlier, Talmid Chachamim, shgagos nasam kizdonos. The person has to be especially careful learning Gemara, learning halacha, to get it right. Darsh Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, Ma'ad Hasiv, Shem Dvar Hashem, and continuing this drasha, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Eloi, that which it says, Shimo Dvar Hashem, Achredim, El Dvar, those who are quaking over his word, El Dvar, Elu Tamei Chachamim, that is referring to the Torah scholars, Amru, the verse says, Amru Achechem, Saneichem, Amru Achechem, your brothers, Eilu Bale Mikra, those are the people that learn scripture, Soneichem, those who you hate, Eilu Bali Mishnah, those are the ones who learn Mishnah. Menadechem, those that are even more, there's a greater degree of enmity, of nidui, Eilu Ami Aretz. That's referring to those who are ignoramuses. Shema Toma Pasak Svarom Batal Sichuyom. Maybe you'll say that they have no svara. That they've lost their rationale and they have no hope. Tamanomar Venira Besimchaschem. The verse comes to conclude. Venira Besimchaschem. Heim Evoshim. And they will appear in your rejoicing. You'll see in your rejoicing. Shema Toma Yisrael Evoshim. Maybe you'll interpret the verse as saying that concerning a Jew, there will be this embarrassment. Tamalomar Vehem Evoshu. Therefore it says, and they will be embarrassed. Oblikachovim Evoshu. It will be the idolaters that will be embarrassed. Yisrael Yismachu. And among the Jews, there will be a rejoicing. There will be a restoration. And even though you have these degrees of enmity, it will be restored among the Jewish people. Let's see Rashi. B'mei Rebbe Nishnas Mishnah Zu. The time of Rebbe, this Mishnah was taught. Hadiktani Gemara, Enoch Hamid Gadol HaMizu. That's which was taught. That concerning Gemara, there's no greater measure. The fee. Shemishu Rabba Tamid Shammai V'Hilal. Shaiyu L'Fonot. Shlosh Adaros. Rabba Machlokos Batar. Since there was a proliferation of the students of Shammai and Hillel that were before three generations, there was a proliferation of disagreement in the Torah. The Nasis Keshe Torah was terrible that there seemed to be developing the two tracks as though they're two separate Torahs. There's only one Torah. There's Torah Shebal Peh. But the Torah Shebal Peh is one Torah Shebal Peh. Not meant to be understood in two methods that are incompatible. Mitoch ol shivud malchus, and the cause of this divergence was the yoke of the foreign governance, zeres shahayu gozer alein, and all of the decrees against the Jewish people. Mitoch kach lo hayochol moses leiv levar divrei acholkim ad yom of shorebi shnosan kadosh baruch hu chein beini antoninus melech romi. So this proliferation of debate and difference, divergence of opinion, was a result of the inability of people to be able to focus and give their heart entirely to come to a resolution until the days of Rebbe. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave a reprieve. Rebbe found favor in the eyes of Antoninus, like the emperor of Rome. Nochem and Sarah, they were relieved of the harsh decrees at the hands of the Roman government. Shalcha kibas kol tamei Eretz Yisrael ad yomav lo hayu sechta seduras. And he went and gathered all the sages in the land of Israel until his day did not have ordered mesechtos, tractates. Kol tamei shesham adam bigodol himenu. Garsa, each Talmud had his own teachings that he learned from his teacher. Nosan simonim alachaploni suploni shemati misham, a mishem ploni. Kishnikvat so amar kol echad masha shama. When they gathered together, had a convention, and each one related that which he had received. Nosan leiv levar tamei machlokos, and they set their heart to clarify what is. What are the underlying reasonings that led to these debates, disagreements? Divrei mi ruin l'kayim, and the words of who should be established. Sidra mesechtos, And there was an ordering of the tractates, Divrei Nezikin, Levadam, the teachings of torts on their own. So Bamitzia is part of Seder Nezikin that we are learning right now. Divrei Yevamos, Levadam, Divrei Kodshim, Levadam. Interesting, Yevamos is the introduction, the first tractate of Seder Nashim. Rashi is calling it Divrei Yevamos, as opposed to Nezikin, which reflects the entire Seder. Normally we say Seder Nashim, but Yevamos is the first tractate in Seder Nashim. And the Rambam in Akdama, the Pirush Mishnah, explains that Yevamos comes first because it's the Inyanei Ishus that is Afilu Bal Korcha, that does not require Ratzon to be effective. So it's a unique type of Ishus. Akoponim, that's the Zika, the connection they have in the bond between the widow and her brother-in-law when her husband had no children. So that's the introduction to Seder Nashim. Divrei Kodshim, Levadam, the words of the sacrificial laws in their own tractate, their own Seder. Damnami Mishnah, Divrei Yechidim, Shira Rebbe Es Divreim. So you have also individual teachings that Rebbe felt that their teachings were worthy. And he taught them not in the name of who actually they were sourced from, but he taught it in a generic sense without sourcing them in order to establish that the halacha follows this opinion. Therefore, they said, Rebbe was teaching concerning Gemara, there's no greater measure. In order to give heart to understand the reasonings of the Mishnah. So I'm not sure why we only have a selection of the Sidrei HaMishnah, rather the Shisha Sidrei Mishnah, and we don't have all of them mentioned, but presumably all are included in what Rebbe was Masada, the Masada of all the Mishnahs, all Shisha Sidrei Mishnah. I'm not sure why Rashi is only mentioning a partial selection. And based on this glowing approbation to focus on Talmud, so people stopped reviewing the Mishnah. And ran after the Gemara to consider the Svaras, the rationales underlying the Mishnah. Therefore, in order to do damage control, he said, really a person should run after the Mishnah, more than the Gemara. Because he was afraid, this is at the time, it was all conveyed orally, he was afraid people would forget the Mishnah. They're too busy learning Gemara, and not going over, reviewing the Mishnah, might be forgotten. And there might be aberrant traditions that could crop up if they confuse the names of the sages that things are said in. We sound in the Gemara like that. Who's the teacher of this Mishnah? We just had it today. Is it Rabbi Yosef Lili? Not Rabbi Yosef Lili. Chachamim. How do you understand it? That was a concern. Will they get confused? Makom chiyuv yom repotim. And in place where there's a liability, they'll say there's an exemption. Makom aser yom remotim. And in a case where something's prohibited, they might say it's permitted. If there are very serious errors that can crop up if they would abandon going over the Mishnayos to learn them and review them and retain the correct tradition of the Mishnah. So he said that that needs to be the basis before going to Gemara. The Mishnah cannot be left alone to at the risk of being lost. My darsh, mitchila kishadarsh, Shigmara Gavah, when he first taught that the Gemara is greater, that there's no midah, no measure greater than that, he's darshaning this verse, la'ame pishim, to my nation, their severe sin, ami, my nation, dahainu, tarich hachamim, that's referring to the Torah scholars, eschatal samanikare pesha, shaylem losis lei, the tamim mishnasan, shivar lahem, ala ikir, They should have given their heart to understand the underlying principles, the reasonings of their Mishnah, to clarify them, and not give a halacha just from Mishnah, because it itself is not the Iker. The Mishnah is a springboard. It's a short headlines, but it is not adequate. A person needs to have the Gemara. A person passes from Mishnah, so that's a terrible error. It's not clear enough, not an exposition of understanding in the Mishnah to derive halacha lemaisa from it. Take a look at Tosas in the beginning of Horius. He says, and that Beis Med Aleph, Ein, we made an halacha api maisa, can't derive the halacha from a story, not just because stories grow beards, but even without that, that's Yachib Rusha. This is the explanation. If somebody tells you, I saw this happen, Shahru came, and this is what the psak was. I heard somebody said such and such a thing. Come back to me. People have told me, I heard in your name such a psak never happened. But let's say somebody says, I heard such a case, and the hara was as follows, and lismachal dvar, don't rely on his words. Shemelo ain't hate it. Maybe he didn't see well enough to understand the context. Shem also maisa haya katas mishuna. Maybe there was some variant that was critical to understanding why that ruling was given, and he just didn't understand. So he didn't pick up on another factor that led to this ruling, and what he saw, and he says, hey, this is what I saw, and this was the psak, is not accurate. Doesn't know all the details that led to such a ruling, even if he did get it mostly right, but it could be there's a slight variation that he's not conveying. Atcha malacha lamaisa, until it is presented as halacha lamaisa, pirush, atcha yavilo mitoch ha-halacha, until he brings it forth from the halacha, to isa la-osadavar, ma-she-ome, that brings forth this matter that he's trying to convey. Ki ha-talmud v'divra muroin ikir. You want to know how to derive halacha lemaisa? You can't learn from a maisa. You need to learn from the words in the Talmud and the Amoraim. That is the main thing. Ki isa b'yushalmi, reish peh, ein lemeden lo halacha, lo mehalachas, lo mehagodos, lo menetos lefto, elam b'pi ha-talmud. You want to learn halacha? You must have Talmud. That's how to get practical rulings. The source of practical rulings are from the Talmud. A person cannot accurately derive halacha maisa without really getting to the depths of the sugya of the Talmud. But back to Rashi by us. Leviz Yaakov, Shar Am, Chatasam, their sin, Afilu Pasha, Peshalim, Anikara Chatas. Even their intentional sin, their wanton sin, I call an inadvertent sin. Avizar b'Talmud, one should be meticulous and cautious to investigate in Talmud properly, the Gemara, Shehi Tirutz Tamei Mishnayis, that is the exposition of the reasoning underlying the Mishnayis. Oh, im tishma dva Mishnah merabcha, or if you learn the teaching of a Mishnah from your Rebbe, Yizar Lishal Tameh, make sure to learn the reasoning for it, Umishana, and from who he learned it from. Sheshkogos Talmud, for the error in the realm of Talmud, of learning, im gisa b'ra, if you gave an incorrect ruling inadvertently, shkogos Talmudcha, because of your erroneous understanding of the Talmud, sheloi that tam Mishnah, because you didn't really understand the reasoning underlying the Mishnah, nesata b'tam achi, and you understood in a different reasoning, dochkach b'misala din, and based on that underlying error, you made a comparison and resulted in a particular din, oh hora shabal yachat, or a ruling that came to your hand, the matay mena shalokidas, and you learn from it in an inappropriate manner, she'ein hatam kamo sheisus of it, that the real reason is not like you thought, she'ilu yadat hatam mishnah, because if you really knew the rationale underlying the mishnah, lo d'misala maisa habal yachat, you would not have made a comparison from that mishnah to the case that was brought to your hand where you issued an erroneous ruling. So you have to be careful. in Shgava, in Hara, an inadvertent sin brought about by a ruling that is an error by an erroneous limud of learning, that's considered Zadon, Ole Zadon. Anosh Atalah Kemezit, the punishment for you, the one who gives a Hara that is incorrect, even though he did it by accident, it's like a Mezit, Shazadon, Ubiyadcha, Shoshalta, Tam Rapcha. What is the Zadon? You should have asked your Rebbe the reasoning. You didn't ask your Rebbe the reasoning, and you thought you understood it. That's considered Zadon. Elo Tamir Chachamim, these are the Torah scholars, that they served Chachamim a lot, Lamdom Tame Mishnasim, in order to have them teach them the rationale of the Mishnah, of the Mishnais, Zeh, Bezu, Bezeh, Bezu, She'ein HaKol B'kiyin B'shavim. Not everybody has the same degrees of expertise, so a person needs to investigate where and how Rashi in Yaakov says Bekulon instead of Beshavim. Akoponim, if there's some sources. So a person cannot just learn only from one person. If that person doesn't have all of the traditions, so a person needs to go and learn from others. There are various areas of expertise. So a person should avail themselves of those that are Bekiyim. Elu Bale Mishnah. Those who you hate, these are referring to Bale Mishnah. Shesona Bale Gemara. Those who learn Mishnah, unfortunately, have an enmity towards those that are masters of the Talmud. Fi Shabale Gemara Omrim Alay Mishnah Shem Mavleolam. Because those that have the Gemara say about those who only have Mishnah that they're destroyers of the world. Remember Mesechta Sota. That if somebody just issues rulings from Mishnah, they're destroying the world because they don't have the Gemara to issue correct rulings. So that charge, of course, is a valid charge, but as we saw in the Tosfos quoted in Pesachim, Daf Kof Yud Gimel, the reciprocation of that hatred leads to an escalation, unfortunately. But Al Koponim, the hatred over here discussed from the Bali Mishnah against the Bali Gemara is because the Bali Gemara have a sharp rebuke against those who learn Mishnah and give Hora, give rulings from Mishnah incorrectly. They call Mavle Olam, say a sharp wording, they're destroyers of the world. So therefore, the Bali Mishnah have a sinna for Bali Gemara. This lashon anidui, but he's saying another girsa here. No, Psachim and Marsha and Muki Yosef. Okay. The Tamer Chachamim are detested by the Amei Aretz. Like the impurity of Nida is cast aside, isolated. Shema Tomer Avet Svaram Shel Elu Shereik Siv Laman Shmi Chabad Hashem The Mashma Shehem Omrim Kach is another Girza. Aval Ein Adav Kein. That's not actually the case. Maybe you'll say that they have lost the ability to reason because the verse states, for my name will be the honor of God. It sounds like this is what they're saying, but it's not correct. Tamalomar, nimbisim chaschem, and they will be seen in your rejoicing. Velo nema ve'ere. B'simchasim, and doesn't say in the verse, and I will see in your rejoicing. Kachama hanavi, ani v'achechem, sonechem. I and your brothers who hate you, Menadechem, and those who treat you, Tamir Chachamim, like a nidah with that isolation, though you're impure, Kulonu nir b'simchasim, we will all see in your rejoicing. Behem yibosho, and they, some other group, will be embarrassed. Osam shehem ovdei kochavim, those that are idolaters, she'enam mimenu, ve'enam nikram Hashem Yisrael, are not from him, and not called by the name of Israel. Hem yibosho v'Yisrael yismachu, they will be embarrassed, and Yisrael will rejoice, Yisrael including those that had prior had different degrees of friction with Tamir Chachamim, they will rejoice being part of Klal Yisrael and the rejoicing of the Tamir Chachamim in the future. And so for those who are completing this parak, Hadronach Elu Metzias. Let's continue the beginning of the next parak. Ma'afidit Chavero Behema Okelim. Somebody deposits by his friend an animal or vessels, v'nignabu, and they were stolen, o she'avdu, or they were lost, shilin, he paid, below shava, and he did not want to take an oath. Sherei amru, shomer chinam, nishba, v'yotze, for they've said that an unpaid watchman takes an oath and leaves. He can just get away with it. Nimsa, haganov, in such a case, where after he is paid, the ganov is found, Meshalim tashlum kefal, he pays double. Tavachumachem meshalim tashlum arba'a chamisha, and if the ganav slaughtered or sold the animal, he has to pay four or five times, depending on whether it was a cow or a lamb. Lemi meshalim, but to whom does he pay? The ganav has to pay. He says, I've got the check four or five times. Who do I pay? Mi shepakar metzel, to the one who the charge was by. So the holder, not the original owner. Nishba, the low Ratzel Shalim, if he decided to take the oath to exonerate himself and he did not want to pay, Nimsa Ganov, and then the Ganov is found, so we find out a verification, yes, he was a Shomer Chinam, unpaid watchman, he's not liable in case it's stolen, and the one who stole it is found. So he took the oath, he didn't have to pay, he didn't pay, the Ganov is found, Mesham Tashlum Kefal, he pays, the Ganov pays either a double payment, or if the thief went further and slaughtered or sold the animal, he has to pay four or five times. Lemi mishalim, who does he have to pay to? Lebala bikadim, he has to pay to the owner. The owner is the one who retains his ownership, and the watchman bailed, which he was allowed to do. He said, I'm not paying, I don't have to pay. Took an oath to exonerate himself. The payment, the windfall over here in this case, four or five times, goes to the owner. Says the Gemara, Lam le misne behema, lam le misne kelim. Why do we need in the Mishnah parallel teachings both for the animal and for vessels? Tzrichi, it is necessary. Didana behema. If the Mishnah would have only said the case of an animal, havamina behema hu, the makne le kfela. I would have said it's by an animal that there is the giving over of the rights to kefel, to receive double this knas, this fine that the gan of the thief has to pay. Shunt nafish tercha. Because of the great exertion to bring it up and to take it out, that's by the behemoth, but by vessels, that there is no great exertion for the shomer. Maybe he would not, the owner would not cede the rights to the kefil. V'itana kelim, and if the Mishnah would have only taught kelim, then I would have said that the owner of the object would have only given over rights to the receipt of the knas, of double, because the possible windfall is not that much. It's only up to double. But in the case of the charge being an animal, where there's a potential of a big windfall, if the ganav, the thief, after he stole it, slaughtered it, and sold or sold it, he'll have to pay four or five times a much bigger fine. I would have thought that the owner of the object would not have ceded those rights, and therefore, tzricha, he wouldn't have given to him more than kefel. So, kamash malon, that the same halacha applies both for kelim and behema. That there's a tzad that you might have thought each one is distinct. Both are actually the same, And in a case where the watchman, the unpaid watchman, decides to pay up, he receives the rights of whatever the ganav has to pay, whether it be double if he's caught, or four or five times, depending on whether it's kalim or behemoth, whether it's vessels or an animal that was subsequently slaughtered or sold.